Welcome back to Young, Dumb, and Righteous with your hosts, Nick and Philip. We welcome everybody today. We're hoping to kind of focus a little bit more on the topic of church and the people within the church and getting a group of people around you and surrounding yourself with God-like people to really better yourself and to continue your journey on. So to start us off, we have a verse here if you want to open up to 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. It says, "If I am delayed, you will know how people ought to conduct themselves in God's household, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the foundation of truth." So when people tell you to go to church, it's not necessarily because they think that you're incompetent of learning the word yourself. It's the fact of the matter, you can get so much more out of church. You can get a group of friends. You can get a new family. You get people who can truly accept you for who you are and will continue to better. They'll want the best for you, and they'll continue to guide you along the path that you need to be on versus straying off on your own.
Right. And also, when you have other people around you that are seeking the same thing as you, being able to have other people's minds in your walk gives you different perspectives. So like a good example of this, I'm in a disciple group and we meet up every Wednesday. It's about five same guys. Most of them are in their 30s to 50 range. I'm 22, so I'm a little young, but it's cool to hear the perspective of these older people that have been in their faith longer than me. And I feel like we always have great conversation every week, but we actually had a guy come in this Wednesday. He was the first time, and he actually has never even been to this church before. He just kind of wanted to see, he wanted to be plugged in with more people. And he was a super quiet guy, had headphones around his neck. He's just kind of sitting there. And as he's listening to our conversation, I can see his spirit start to light up. And he wants to start sharing everything that he's learned with us. And I mean, this guy's probably 30 years old, and he's just starts sharing everything that the Spirit has put onto him. And it kind of cracked all of our minds open. We're all kind of just sitting around taking notes of what this one guy said. And it was all because we're getting a new perspective. So when you join a church and when you get a new group of friends that are seeking what you're seeking, they're going to be able to help you stay accountable, but they're also going to be able to give you feedback and help you get through the tough times.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, if you surround yourself with good people and you start to kind of rely on them as friends now, and if you're having a bad day, if you're going through something, maybe you're depressed or you're just, maybe you've fallen off the tracks a little bit. If you have that buddy, you can just call up and say, "Hey, I've fallen off. Give me a piece of scripture. Can you help me out?" And they're there for you. That's God putting people in your lives to make sure that you don't fall off or that Absolutely. You don't take a step back. Even though it's an escalator, you can still fall.
For yeah. Sure. And there's a huge difference. One thing I've noticed is I've always had close friends my whole life. But the moment that I got a group of godly men as brothers, totally different world, totally different level to the friendship. I was just telling Philip this. So I was going through a pretty tough situation a couple of days ago. And the next day I was sitting here, I was filled with anxiety. I was praying on it. And I just kind of wanted, like I said, a different perspective and some input on it. So I was able to call my disciple group leader. I always tell people the way that I describe him is he's the spiritual David Goggins. So if you don't know who David Goggins is, he's a like ex-Navy SEAL, skinny, bald guy. And he's probably like mid-50s, but can run like 25 miles. He's like a superhuman, right?
Yeah.
And that's kind of how this guy is. But exactly what he said, one thing that kind of blew my mind is when I called this guy, when I was going through all this, reminder, this guy is 55, wife, kids, house, job. He's got a lot going on, and he's also an ambassador for the church. So, I mean, this guy's got a completely packed schedule. I call this guy, and he's like, "Hey, man, what's going on? Let's talk about it." He's like, "Where are you at?" And I'm like, "I'm on the way to work right now." He's like, "Okay, well, can we meet afterward then?" And we also had disciple group that night, and he was willing to meet me multiple hours before to be able to talk this through. And then he's like, "Okay, well, if that doesn't work, I can stay after for disciple group." He's like, "I just want you to know I'm on your time." And to hear that from somebody that has so much going on, it really just kind of changed. Like, I was like, what? Like, I don't deserve your attention. But at the end of the day, it's like when you have that kind of friend, Here's a verse that kind of we were just talking about. It's Proverbs 27:9. It says, "Oil and perfume make the heart glad, and the sweetness of a friend comes from his earnest counsel." And when I first read that, I kind of didn't really understand what it was saying. But as I reread it, oil and perfume make the heart glad. Those are going to be the external things that are going to make you glad. But I almost think it would say like, but the sweetness of a friend comes from his earnest counsel. And then when I looked up the definition of earnest, it's diligence and intentment. So his diligence and then counsel is going to be giving advice and receiving advice. So his diligence and his intent counsel is what is ultimately going to be the sweetness of a friend. And reminder, this is somebody more than double my age. And my pastor, he told multiple months ago, he was talking about how having a group of five friends, you need to have five friends that you can call any time of day, right? And not any time of day, like you need to have an early morning friend, a late morning friend, afternoon friend, early night friend, and a late night friend. So that way you can have somebody to call at any time of the day. And what he was talking about is how having a good group of friends is like having an investment account. You're not going to wait until you need it to start building it. You know what I mean? You start building it now. So eventually down the road when you need it, it's going to be right there.
Yeah. I mean, by surrounding, like, again, having friends in your life that you can constantly rely on, whether you can call on them at any point in time, is very important to have those kind of friends. And especially the people that, like that guy said, I'm on your time. I mean, how many times have you been like, I really want to help this person, but I don't have the time.
Yes. That, and you know, exactly what you just said was the first thing that went through my mind when he told me that. I was thinking of how many times have I had friends ask me for help, and I'll be thinking, I'm like, yeah, I really need to, but I have a business and I got all this kind of stuff I got going on. Like, it's like, and it just really put it in perspective how, like, a true friend and brother, he is there. You know what I mean? Like, he will put it on the line for you. And a lot of the verses that we're talking about right now, they're actually out of Proverbs. So if you guys flip over to Proverbs, chapter 27 is where a lot of this is coming from. The next verse that I'm going to talk about is Proverbs 27, verse 17. And this is a super popular one. A lot of you guys have probably heard this one before. And it says that iron sharpens iron and one man sharpens another. So as Christians, as brothers, so if I'm speaking to you, I know Christ and you don't, you're a friend. There's a friend and there's a brother. So my number one intent to you is now to lead you to Christ. When you come to Christ, we are now brothers. Right. Because the way that the body of Christ works is before it's anything, it's a family. As soon as you are accepted by Jesus, which we are all offered to be accepted, as soon as you accept his invitation, you are now in the family. We're now all brothers and sisters. So now that you're a brother, if I see you slipping up, I'm not going to try to share Jesus with you. I'm going to try to sharpen your sword. I'm going to use my iron to sharpen your sword. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I thought that was kind of interesting how, you know, until they're in the body, that's when you can start giving them advice. And that's when you can start being accountable to each other.
Right. I mean, at the end of the day, this isn't a walk you can take alone, like 100% alone. Absolutely. It's fine to start it. If you want to start, like, and I've said it in the past, if you just want to start just doing daily devotionals, or if you just want to open the Bible up and read a chapter a day or read for 15 minutes, whatever gets you in the book first, but understand that at some point it is nice to make that transition and to seek out other people to gain their opinions, maybe gain their knowledge, gain their experience. Hear their testimony, that will change your whole perspective on the whole thing. And this isn't just a lifestyle change. This is a relationship with God. This is a relationship with Jesus. This is understanding everything and holy. And once you understand Jesus's love, you'll find other people that also understand Jesus's love. And by finding those people, they'll always be there for you. So if you're down and out, if you're having a bad time, if you have an anxiety attack, something that happens, those are people you can call on that'll say, I'm on your time. They may have a million other things going on in their lives, but they're going to drop everything at a drop of a hat because they know you need them in that moment. And those are the people you should try to find in your walk as you continue along.
Yeah. That's ultimately what he's talking about. It's love. That's all out of love. And in the Bible, it talks about there's no greater form of love than laying down your life for your friend. And Jesus literally laid his life down for us. So that's why we live and walk and speak about him. But maybe it's not you physically laying your life down. Maybe it's you putting your life aside to help the friend.
Yeah.
And that's the greatest form of love. And exactly what he was saying about getting different, just receiving information from other people in the body of Christ. It's kind of the same. It kind of just roots back all to, almost like a business idea, and it's not what you know, it's who you know.
Yeah.
So if you're a brand new baby Christian, and you go meet a group of people that you are now going to meet with every week, you're going to start leveraging their information with what you know. And so if you're leveraging information off of a 6-year-old Christian that's been worshiping Jesus since he turned 18, you're probably going to start learning a lot of stuff that most people, you know what I'm saying? Like you can be seeking Christ for 5 years by yourself and never join a church. And then you can join a church and in the first month learn more than you have that whole entire time. Because not only are you learning from the word and what you know and what you can comprehend, you're also learning from, one, the pastor who is going to take the things that you can't and he's going to decipher them to you to where you can understand it. But you're also going to be getting the information from the brothers that care about you.
For sure. Well, I think it really helps if you can get with, and not saying you have to get with these people who are 65, 70 years old or even 55, not saying you have to talk with these people, but it definitely helps because as we all know, age equals experience, and life experience is something that every one of us is going to have to go through. For between 0 and 55, we're all going to hit, life is going to hit us at some point, and life sucks. We all know life sucks. And if you can meet with those people and know that they're in their faith, they'll tell you all of their lows and all of the things that they've gone through, and they're going to tell you how the scripture or how the Bible has related to them and how they've been able to reach out to God and what has helped them through their walk. And that is all amazing information to have as you continue on yours, as you take up your cross and you're walking with Jesus, and you might stumble along the way and life is going to hit you with some challenges, but if they've gone through it, they're going to be able to guide you and tell you how you can get back into the scripture to help you through those hard times.
Yeah. And like exactly what you're saying is when I was going through that hard time and I was able to call Duckworth, we call him in our group, we call him Jesus' Gunny. He was a sergeant in the Marine Corps. So you can tell kind of what kind of guy this is if you can pick up what I'm putting down. After our disciple group, this was last night, he sits me down on the couch. He's asking me down to the details of what's happening, how do I feel, where do I think these feelings are coming from? And then I couldn't give him a direct answer. I was like, I don't really know where these feelings are coming from. And he's like, tell me of every significant event that's happened in the past 3 years that's kind of changed who you are. And when he said that, I mean, it's like you can tell this guy's genuinely wanting to get down to this issue. But this is a man that was leading other thousands of men. You know, he was a sergeant, so he was coaching men. He said he would have guys come and sit down in his office, and he heard some stuff that he probably, you know, you can't make it up, the kind of stuff he was hearing.
Yeah.
But he's talked to so many people that he's heard so many different issues so that he's learned all these new solutions to these issues. And, you know, he's been through a lot. And one thing that he's always held true to was the word. And one thing that's kind of interesting to me is he talks about, like, in the beginning of his walk, how he would start reading 15 minutes a day. And then it's like he almost was, like, evolving in his faith. And that's how it is when you have when you first start off your faith. They call it like a baby's faith because that's what it is. You just started, you're starting to believe now, and you're starting to realize like this is the beginning.
Yeah.
And that roots back down to it starts at the cross. It doesn't end at the cross.
Exactly.
So as soon as you find Jesus, you crucify your flesh. The old you is gone. Behold, the new has come. And now you're given a new heart with the same mind that you now have to conquer using what we have been given to us, which is the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit. And we're supposed to be using that, the Word of God, not as Joby says, not as a sledgehammer to slam people and judge people with, but as a mirror. And I thought that was kind of interesting, is to use the Bible as a mirror. As you read through, you're going to begin to audit your own life.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to start to figure out all the little things that you're like, oh, this doesn't align with what the Word says I should be doing. And it's pretty cool because it starts, you don't always want to read the Bible. Let me just say, as someone who loves Jesus more than anything, I don't always want to read the Bible. But let me tell you, discipline. Just as anything else, it all comes down to discipline.
Yes.
Because we're now in a world where society is losing focus, right? So there's like everybody's trying to find a substance to take their mind off something. There's a reason that movies have lost popularity because people cannot sit down for 2 hours any longer. And then YouTube became a thing and people would sit down for like 10 to 20 minutes. And then TikTok became a thing.
Vine was 6 seconds.
Yeah, exactly. And it just keeps getting smaller and smaller and smaller. And that's our attention span. So what's happening? The devil is generationally trying to tear the church down. So if he knows in the year 2024 that people's attention span is 6 seconds, how are we expected to sit down and read the Bible?
Yeah.
Because the thing is, the Bible's not flashy. You know what I mean?
Oh, no,
you're not going to sit down and be entertained. You're going to sit down and learn, son. And you know what they say? It's a double-edged sword. It starts with a conviction. When you sit down, you start reading the Bible. And this is one thing I've noticed. In the first couple minutes of me reading the Bible, it starts with conviction because it's like, okay. And then guess what? As soon as you push through the conviction comes comfort.
Yeah.
So you get on the other side of that sword, and then the Bible starts comforting you. And the more you're in it, the more the Bible's going to comfort you.
Oh, exactly. I mean, for me, it's kind of like starting my walk, and I think I've said it on here before. When I started my walk, I literally just started by sitting down with my parents and saying, hey, let's just go through and let's do a daily devotional every day. We can't go to church every Sunday, fine. Let's start with a daily devotional. And then that evolved from, okay, we're trying, but we're not really understanding, so maybe we should go to church. And then that evolved from that to let's go to Sunday school every Sunday. And it's a snowball effect from that point forward. And the more you can kind of get into those disciplines of saying, I'm going to sit down every day and read for 15 minutes, or I'm going to sit down and look over these verses and figure out what they're saying or what they're trying to tell me, the better off you're going to be. And it's discipline, is exactly what Nick said. No, it's not the most entertaining thing in the world, but I find myself a lot of times I'll start reading and I'll be like, I don't want to read today. I just don't want to read. And especially because like I have a King James Version Bible. If anybody knows anything about King James versions versus some of the other ones, it's not the easiest read in the world. But sometimes I get into it and I might get a couple lines down and be like, I'm so glad I read today.
Yeah.
Because then it captures my attention. I'm like, I don't want to put it down.
Right.
I just want to keep flipping pages. And it's honestly the greatest feeling in the world whenever you can finally accept that. And like Nick said, you push through that conviction, you get that comfort. And the Gospels, I think, do that so well. I was telling Nick today, I just finished up John the other day, and now I finally started on Revelations. I don't know how much comfort's going to be in that, but but at the end of the day, there was so much comfort in Gospels because in there, at the end of every story, you find out that Jesus died for you. He died for your sins, and he cleansed you with his blood and cleansed your sins away. And that is the truest form of love, and you want to talk about doing something on our time. He did it on our time, not on his.
Absolutely. Yeah, when he said, like, the Gospels bring comfort. One thing that I really, one main revelation that I had when I got through the Gospels was that I'm saved. That was something I always battled with, and it felt like I was doing it. I felt like I was trying to come close to God, but... And I was doing all the do's, but it just felt, I still questioned it. I'm like, because there's a Bible verse that says, if you are one of my disciples, you'll be in my word. And I was like, oh, well, I'm not in his word. I'm not his disciple, blah, blah, blah. And then that's what it is. It's a lie. It's a lie you're starting to believe. And it's a lie that comes in as a thought. And the thought doesn't become true until you believe it. And it's not even true though. It's a lie. Cause we have, the devil's called, you know, his name's the liar,
yeah.
You know, the tempter. But I think by getting through the Gospels, it made me realize that all those people that did all the wrong, were still saved. And it's that Jesus died for everyone. Like when he died, he came to save the world. And if you accept him, it's over. That's it, you know? And then so by knowing that, you can now read Revelations from a place of comfort, knowing that you're on his side.
Oh, 100%.
You know what I'm saying? And that was, I remember like reading Revelation just years ago, because I'd heard some of the things that were happening in Revelation, and I was like, whoa, that sounds entertaining. I'm going to go read Revelation. And then I went and read Revelation, and I was like, okay, this isn't what I remember. But now that I can read Revelation, you know, it's just all, it's the prophecy. And now my name's written in the book of life.
Yep.
So now I just, you know, everybody I know, I don't want them to be on the other side.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? So now out of a place of love, I'm wanting to share that to where everybody I know can also be in the book of life.
I tell you, something I understand more now than I've ever have in the past is people in my life who I thought were just like, to call them Jesus freaks. And I was like, why? Every time I get around this person, it's all they want to talk about. Now I get it.
Absolutely.
Because I'm like, I want to be that guy. I want to be like, hey man, you need to read this. Like, this is very important. And if they don't get it, it's very upsetting to me. And now I get why those people may have been so pushy in the past. You want to lead those people to the Lord. You want them to take up their cross and understand. And like you said, Jesus forgave everybody. Jesus forgave down to Judas, who betrayed him, down to the people who mocked him and called him the King of the Jews, is what they called him. They wrote it on the cross, King of the Jews. They did that. They stabbed him with spears. They threw things at him. I mean, slashed him with whips, with rocks tied to him. I mean, this was a gruesome death. And Jesus, at the end of it, still said, I forgive you. I love you so much that as long as you have faith in me, I will forgive you.
Yeah. And if Judas Iscariot can be saved, I mean,
yeah,
that's, and if you don't know the story of Judas was the one disciple that went and told them where Jesus was and pretty much sold Jesus for $30.
Yeah.
You know, 30 denarii or whatever.
30 pence, I think is how it's worded, but yeah.
And so what he did was he went and told them where Jesus was for an amount of money. Betrayed what he knew to be true. And then, I don't know if you guys know how the story of Judas ends, but he uses that money to go buy a plot of land.
Yeah.
And then the next sentence after he buys the plot of land, he burst open. But in all this and all the wrong he did, he was saved. He had faith. He called on the name of Jesus, said, you are the Son of God. I believe that you are my Lord and Savior. And he went to heaven. After that, betraying Jesus in the flesh.
Yes. I mean, imagine sitting face to face with a man that we now know is our Lord and Savior and going, I'm going to tell a lie about you and it's going to get you killed.
Yeah.
And then that person turning around and going, that's okay. I forgive you and you're still saved and you're still going to heaven because you believe that I am the Lord and Savior. You believe that I am Christ risen again. Like, that's incredible. That's incredible.
Yeah. The love, you know, like literally when he was on the cross and he says, forgive them for they know not what they do.
Yes.
Man.
That hits hard.
Dude, that hits me so hard. And it makes me think, you know, like now that I can walk everyday life and I see people opposing what I love. And I don't know if you've scrolled on TikTok, but there's so many TikTok lives of people getting on there saying some insane stuff about who Jesus was.
Oh, dude. Yeah.
And it used to eat, dude. It used to make me so, so mad, really. It made me angry. I'd get on here and be like, you can literally see like a spirit speaking through these people, and what they're doing is speaking lies out to people.
Yes.
And oh, it used to make me so fuming. Now I just say, I'll get in there and I'll comment and I'll say, Father, forgive them for they know not what to do. And I just scroll on past it.
Yeah. I mean, that's the only thing you can do. It's very unfortunate that you can't get online these days and find those people and find people who are willing to listen. These are people who have completely written off Jesus Christ. They've completely written off God. They've completely written off the Bible as just myth, fiction, not going to happen. And I will say one of the things that like was eye-opening to me is for the first time opening up Genesis and reading the story of Adam and Eve and going, that happened. That was a real, that actually happened. These were two people that, you know, betrayed God's trust. They sinned for the first time, and that started this whole chain reaction of everything. That one thing, eating off the tree of knowledge was the original sin, and all of that started this chain reaction, a butterfly effect, if you will, to Jesus dying on the cross, to Moses leading people out of slavery, and all of these things that just happened, the great flood that happened, and God's promise, the Sodom and Gomorrah, and all of this happens, but then like the first part of the book. Like, this isn't, you know, halfway through. This is like the first few books in the Bible. So all of these horrible things that have happened simply because the knowledge of sin and the original sin that happened. So and to go back and know that those things are real, but for people to call them fake, and there's not only biblical evidence, but there's also historical evidence, like actual historical evidence. I don't know if you've seen the Shroud of Turin that's been going around. There's new scientific evidence. It's the thing they wrap Jesus in, and there is an imprint of his face. It's kind of like a...
Oh, yes.
It can only have happened through like a really bright light, is how they've described it. And at first, they thought it was like a medieval like recreation. They've actually done more testing, and no, it was from the time that Jesus walked on earth. So it's the likelihood, it is the truth of the matter of something happened to put an imprint of his face on the Shroud of Turin.
It gives me chills.
Yeah,
it really does.
Cause you see it and you're like, that's Jesus.
No, I see. And you know, what's funny is you said that and I didn't know what you're talking about, but as soon as you start talking about it, first thing that popped in my mind is the face of Jesus. I remember seeing the face of Jesus and it was like one of the top Google headlines.
Yes.
So like, it was a pretty big deal. And like, all, I mean, the Euphrates River is drying up.
Yeah.
This giant river is drying up is a prophecy. And at the bottom of the river, finding things on the bottom of the river.
Oh yeah.
And, I mean the locust, like, there's a swarm of locusts coming down from Canada hitting the top of the northern United States.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it all sounds like a fairy tale until you start to realize, the more you dive into it, we're just at the ending part of it. You know what I mean? This is all just a story that played out too long. But it's just crazy how it becomes real life, and you start to realize that every single one of these little stories all applies to who you are, how you can get closer to Jesus, and how you can walk in the freedom that he has set out for us. Yeah. You know?
Exactly. But I think that's gonna wrap it up for this episode. We thank every one of you that have continued to watch us and diligently have subscribed to us and continue to look out for our next episodes. I know Nick is super appreciative. He's a man of the Lord, and I honestly look up to him and some of the things that he does, because he is way further along in his walk, I feel like, than I am. But I'm really appreciative that he's able to sit here with me, and we're able to go through all of these different scriptures and shoot ideas at each other and sit down and hopefully spread the word to many more of you people. But we appreciate every single one of you that sits down every week and watches us.
Yeah, we thank you guys for tuning in. I love you, Philip. And our message to y'all is, if you do not have five friends that you can call for help, just start working on it right now. Don't wait until you need it. Just start today. And if you don't, go to the place where they are. You're not going to find them. You're not going to find the good friend at the bar. You're not going to find the good friend in school. I mean, you will, but if the one thing I've noticed is there is going to be a minimal chance. Go to where they are. Go to church, go find other people that are seeking what you are, and they will take care of you as you will them.
Exactly.
All right. Love you guys. Thank you for tuning in, and we'll check you all in the next episode. Peace.